Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
All right, well, Happy New Year, everybody. So glad to be here with each and every one of you. Gosh, it's a whole nother year. It's a new year, so what do we do? What do we do? It's a new year, you know. We partied all we could last night, you know. Ate cookies and stuff. And, you know, what do we do now? I'm asking. Anybody? What do? We have New Year's resolutions, right? What are some New Year's resolutions in the house today, you know? What do you guys think? What's your New Year's resolution? Some of you are like, I have resolved not to have a New Year's resolution. No? Come on, what are a couple? We're an interactive church here. Lose weight. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Anyone else? What's that? Eat more cake. I like that one. It's kind of an opposite. Come on, a couple more. Come on, let's hear it. Write and post, like, okay. All right. Exercise, yes. Read more, that's a good one. Say that again. Better your situation in life, that's a good one. We're going to talk about that today. All right, couple more. What did she say? Oh, get closer to Jesus. Finally, there it is. That's the one we were looking for. So, yeah, I mean, that's my resolution for sure, you know, to get closer to Jesus. But my real resolution is, you know, I want to get in better shape. You know, a lot of people, you know, my wife's like, round's a shape. She's like, thanks, honey. That's true love right there, isn't it? She's like, round's a shape. It's okay, you know. But, you know, I've done some weight fluctuation, you know, in the last 3 years. You know, I've gone from 280 pounds to 170 pounds. And now I'm at about 210, 215 on a good day. but I like to eat. I talk about Sunnies all the time, you know. We're not going to beat anybody to Sunnies anymore. Okay, we're just going to eat at Sunny's, okay? So we're just going to go. We're going to, as soon as we get out of church, we're going to go there. There's no race. Right, Sunny? Sunny corrected me on Sunny's. We had to talk about it. Thanks, Sunny. He's like, everybody keeps coming to my house, man. You got to stop talking about it, man. I can't keep feeding all these people. It's like, all right, so we got you, bro. We got you. He's like, that is not at all what we talked about. But you know, my bottom line is I need balance and discipline. I need discipline. Somebody say it. Discipline and balance. You know, because, you know, think about it from this perspective. Being in shape isn't just physical. So that's kind of, I wanted to kind of look at that a little bit today. You know, some of us need to get into physical shape. Somebody say amen. Right? But others of us need to get in emotional shape. You know what I mean? We just heard some powerful testimonies. We just heard some things. We need to get in emotional shape, and even more of us need to get into spiritual shape. Think about this for a second. You see, we need to focus this year on being in the best shape we've ever been in our relationship with Jesus. You guys got real quiet on that one. They're like, what does that mean? That means you got to read your Bible. Yes. You're going to have to read your Bible this year. Somebody say, I need to read my Bible. You know, that's that thing. You got to kind of brush the stuff off of it, you know, on the top and pull it open. And, you know, some of yours are just like, you know, it's okay to write in your Bible. Mark that thing up, man. I had a Bible. One of my first Bibles, man, it had everything in it, man. I mean, I even left it in my truck, and a friend of mine spilled, like, tobacco spit in my Bible. Like, while he borrowed my truck. And I'm like, you know what? It gives it good personality, you know? You got Mountain Dew stain on, and you know, Ecclesiastes, and, you know. You want to hear a funny book story? When I was in high school, I was still riding the bus. I was in ninth grade, and I had a math book, right? And I would hold this math book at the bus stop, and the mosquitoes were brutal, man. So it's a school-issued book. I would take the book, and I would just, the mosquitoes would be, and I'd just be like. And by the end of the year, if you could have seen the same page too, I did it all on the same page of this math book. So the next kid that got my math book, they're like, okay, everybody turn to page 173. You know, and this kid probably opened his book and there's like blood, guts, mosquitoes, just, you couldn't even read what was on the page anymore. There was so much in it. But you know what? I don't even know how I got to that. But anyway, let's get into spiritual shape. Okay, here we go. So we need to set a goal to be more like Jesus, don't we? I mean, it's not a bad goal for any of us. But here's the key. I want to share with you today what that looks like. And it's in this thing that I want to explain to you called pressing on. Okay, somebody say press on. We're going to press on. And move into getting into better spiritual shape in our lives. You see, we haven't ever really fully arrived in our relationship with God. Has anybody arrived yet, you know, in your relationship with the Lord? We haven't, and we never will, but we need to continually be building it stronger and stronger and stronger. And pressing on is the key to this. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. Pressing on in life. And this is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. So let's look at what this means. Let's just break that down. If you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Philippians 3:12. Right? You guys there? I'm just doing this for you guys. Everyone's got their phones out. You're really in your Bible app. I'm choosing to believe that about you. Okay? Philippians 3, we're not checking the surf report, Bruce, or Sonny, okay? So 3 verse 12, right, says this, pressing toward the goal, okay? Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what pressing on is all about. You see, Paul, as he wrote this, you know, he hadn't reached the goal. And I don't think that he ever will or ever did reach that finish line goal of being made perfect just like God was. But you know what? He's perfect now, you know, as he's spending eternity with God. But you know, what is it? We press on towards the goal. What is that? It's the purpose of God for his life. It's like I'm pressing on to find the purpose that God has laid out for me. Do you realize you have a purpose, right? Each and every one of you have a purpose. You've been gifted. You've been called by God, and he has set you in motion to be someone powerful in this world. And guess what? The enemy is attacking you because of the gifts that are inside of you. He's trying to keep you from becoming all that God has called you to be. So how do we overcome the enemy? You know, we've got to take a moment, and we've got to press on through what the enemy is trying to bring in our lives, and we have to step into the call of God on our lives and become all that God has called us to be. So what is that purpose? You know, because Christ came and he died on the cross. He rose again. Why? So we could become like him. Say, I want to be like him. Just this side. You guys want to be like him, right? You guys good? You guys want to be like him too? All right, just... Yes, you guys want to be like him too, right? Well, let's look at this. It's a powerful truth that we can become like him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who, what? Love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, what? You mean he foreknew us? He had a plan? He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Look at this. This is good stuff. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So what is our purpose? To be conformed into the image of his son each day, to become more like Jesus and to be justified by the blood of Jesus, to be in that communion moment that we talked about earlier, that he has predestined us and called us with a purpose to be the people of God in the earth, to take the world and win it back for his kingdom. Somebody say, come on. That's what we're going to do this year. You know that, right? You know, we've spent years and years in the church, sitting around in church, waiting for the lost to come in here and find their way to Jesus and wander in. No, this year we're going to them. We're going to the streets. We're going out. We're going to do what it is that, whatever it is, we're going to go worship wherever, and then they're going to run across us and they're going to experience God. That's the goal this year. Okay, so, you know, what is Paul really meaning, though, when he said, I press towards the mark? You know, it's this, whenever there's a challenge that's facing you, you've got to learn to press on. You got to learn to press on. You got to learn to move through that problem, because the problem has been set there to paralyze you and to keep you from becoming everything that God's called you to be in your life. It's been put there as a blocker, as an instance to keep you from fulfilling the upward call of God in Christ Jesus and to keep you from being conformed into the image of his son. So what do we do with the obstacles? We press on. We press past them. We acknowledge them for what they are, and then we move forward. We can't keep hanging on to all of these problems and thinking that we're going to be effective for the kingdom of God. So we've got to learn to do the two things that are found in this verse. That's what we need to focus on this year. First is this, the things that we need to forget and put behind us. Somebody say amen, because some of y'all got some stuff you need to forget it and put it behind you. And then, you know, the things that we also need to look at are the things that we need to attain, the things that we need to bring into our life. So let's take a look at this and let's break it down. Let's start with what, you know, the things which are behind us that we should forget. What do you think those are? We got to forget it, right? So... Do you know that, strangely enough, that even a good memory is not always a great thing? Yesterday's memory, a good memory is not always a great thing for our life, because we can get stuck in something good and never be moving towards what we're supposed to be moving in today as just as easily as we can get stuck in something bad. So listen to this quote. You know, it says this. It is not the things we forget that we should have remembered which cause the most trouble. It's the things we remember that we should have forgotten. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not the things we forget that we should have remembered which cause us the most trouble. How many guys forget things? Right? It's not those things. It's the things that we actually remember that we should have forgotten that are causing the most problems in our life. Someone's like, dang, man, pastor's getting real over here. He's like busting us up. So what do we need to forget? Our past sins. You can't do anything about it. You already did it. You're guilty. You're busted. God already saw it. He saw you do it. You know, and you're like, oh, well, maybe I can hide it. You know, you're like, I assure you, he saw it, every bit of it. So what do we do with that? We need to confess our sins to God. We just need to go to God and go, hey, man, I blew it over on aisle three. It's a big mess over there. Need to call the cleanup crew. Drop the jar. Pickles are everywhere. But you know what? We need to repent. We need to forsake our sin and do the best in our ability to live our lives right. That's good advice, right? Someone's like, but I don't want to, Pastor. I like sinning. Sin's fun for a season. Then you turn around, you're like, dang, man, I'm jacked up. I need help. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Don't you just need a little mercy? His mercy is good. Just fall on the grace of God and say, God, I need a little mercy in my life. You know, so we confess our sins, right? And we repent, we forsake them. Now what do? Forget them. Right? Just forget it. You forget everything else. Why can't you forget your sins? Right? We do. We forget everything else, but we're really big about remembering all this other stuff that's tearing us up. So we have to forget them. If you've confessed your sin and you've renounced it, you've made the turn from it, forget it. God forgot it. Look at it. So I can show you how quickly God will forget your sins. You ready? Psalms 103:12. Let's look at this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He's not looking at it, but we are. And you know what happens when you look at your sin, when God's forgotten your sin, but you don't forget it? You feel bad about yourself and you run away from God because you feel guilty, you feel condemnation, and you actually turn your back on God because you think he's mad at you. He's like, what are you talking about? I forgot all about that. But you're running away from God because you think, oh, he'll never like me because I did this, and I just keep remembering how bad I am and how awful I've been, you know? And God's like, dude. Chick. Serious. Lighten up. I paid a huge price for you to be free from that. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. What's God saying? Get over here. Give me a big hug. I love you. I want to be with you. I took care of all that stuff so we could hang out and we could be in a relationship with each other. Yeah, but God, I just did this like 10 minutes ago. He's like, when? 10 minutes ago. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember it. Hebrews 10:17, wouldn't want to leave the New Testament out. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If he's willing to forget, we should be willing to forget. You know, because he's the only one that matters, really, you know. You know, other people may choose not to forget your sins, but you're not living for other people. You're living for God now. You're a part of his kingdom. They may not want to release you. They may not want to forgive you. They may not want to forget. your past, but I assure you God has, and he has a plan and a purpose for you, and he's ready to use you right here, right now, today, and release you from all of that in spite of everybody else that wants to hold it against you. I'm here today to tell you God will still use you in this world to change the world for him. I don't care what you've done, because I've done some pretty bad stuff. You don't want to hear the list. So have you. Just go, uh-huh. Yeah. But if God's forgotten our sins, we got to do the same thing. That's how it works. He's like, if you can forget it, I can forget it, then we can just forget it and have a good time. Do life together. So what's the second thing that we need to forget? Well, you guys got the sin part, right? We can need to forget our sins. What else do we need to forget? Our past failures. Some of y'all blown it. I've blown it. I got some serious past failures, man. It's not easy to forget your past failures. They haunt you. They come, they tell you, you did this, so you deserve to be punished. Or you deserve to be broke because you made that bad decision or whatever, you know? But if we're constantly dwelling on our past failures, then we're not really living in the righteousness of God and who God's called us to be in this moment today. You know, you'll find that your peace will be totally destroyed in your life if you keep trying to live in your past failures. It'll take your progress in life and totally just annihilate your ability to move forward with God if you just keep living in these failures that you've had. Everybody's had them. You know, I mean, I spent 3 years of my life investing in real estate and doing things and working, you know, and Terry was my business partner. I'm like, Terry, I'm backing out. You know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get rich, dude. I'm going to go flip houses. He's like, I'm not feeling that. All right, well, that's cool. You know, and I went out there, man, next 2.5-3 years, invested and kept rolling my money into house after house after house. And then the market locked up and I lost $1 million. And 3 years of my life went down the toilet. Like, you know, it didn't even get stuck. There wasn't even any paper in there. It was just straight shot. Just boom, it was gone. Okay? But, you know, I could have. Some people commit suicide over that stuff. People kill themselves over these kind of things, and they let their lives be destroyed and ruined over these things, you know? I just said, well, all right, here we go. Another day. Starting over. What do you got, Lord? You know what God said to me? He said, you use the world system to get into debt and to flip these houses and to do all these things. Use the world system to get out of it. I had to file bankruptcy. Use the world system to get out of it and then get out of the world system. I never went back. And I'm prosperous because I'm living my life in the kingdom. I'm not living my life in the world system because I'm not of this world. Neither are you. So you got, you know, there's times when we have to use the world system. I'm not arguing with that, but I was building my wealth in the world system, and you can't build wealth in the world system. You'll find the toilet. I figured that out $1 million hard way. But we build in the kingdom. We build under the authority in the kingdom of God. Amen? So what am I trying to say? Don't cry over spilled milk. It's $1 million gallon, man. Don't cry over the spilled milk. You know, we can't be living our lives filled with regret. Just got to move forward. We got to move on. You know, what's another thing we need to forget? This one will catch you off guard a little bit. You know, we need to forget our past successes. It's like, yo, man, I'm like, what if my deal would have gone through? I'd have had my house paid off. I would have been debt-free and everything would have been honky-dory. I would have been like, yes, I'm loving life, man. My plan worked out. I am successful. And I could have just sat down and never done anything else for God, anything else for the kingdom. Could have just served and hung out and lived my life and just went and just done anything and everything I wanted and just lived in my past success and never allowed God to do anything more with me in my future. See, it's just as dangerous to have past failures. It's just, you know, as it is to have past successes. It can paralyze you even faster. What about our unhappy experiences? We need to forget those too. You know? Losing $1 million wasn't a happy experience. You know, for you, there's unhappy experiences that you've had in your life. Things you've had to deal with, maybe health issues, maybe financial issues, maybe emotional issues, things like that. But you know what? Thinking about it, it's not going to change it. It's in your.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the fellowship hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. Hope you're enjoying Turn the Light On. For the remainder of this message or any other messages, go to Lighthouse Christian Church at Merritt Island on YouTube. Once again, thanks for turning the light on.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.